This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hey, Dr. Ken. How are you guys doing?
I'm tired, but I have no real excuse for it, so.
Well, Jessica and I have been hard at work. Dr. Ken.
I'm tired and you're the ones that have been working. That just doesn't sound right.
Yes. Thinking of all kinds of really great things to do.
What have you been working on? Prove it.
Well, we have been doing some research and we're coming up empty-handed. But before we get started, I know that you've got a great story for us. So why don't I toss the ball to you?
All right. So we've talked about the great teenagers of history. Mm-hmm. And we've already talked about Richard II, Joan of Arc, who were teenagers. And again, this is because we always think of teenagers as doing great things if they, you know, get first place in a writing contest, which is fine. But there are young adults that have changed the world.
Right.
For example, you may remember in 1616, this is in the Americas, the story of John Smith, who was captured by the Native Americans in America. And he wrote back to the queen about that episode where he was just about to be killed by the chief Powhatan. And he says this, he said, two great stones were brought before Powhatan. Then as many as could laid hands on him, Smith, dragged him to them and thereon laid his head and being ready with their clubs to beat his brains, Pocahontas, the king's dearest daughter, when no entreaty could prevail, got his head in her arms and laid her own upon his to save him from death. That's how he described the episode of this king's daughter who saved his life by stepping in when they were about to beat his brains, spelled, by the way, B-R-A-I-N-E-S. This is old English. So, and this woman saved his life and really made a huge dent in the progress of settling this nation. Pocahontas did that when she was, wait for it, 12.
Wow.
What?
Yes, 12. Wow.
I would have thought she would at least been like 18 or 19.
Well, you know, I saw the movie, the Disney movie, which I'm sure was a documentary, and she didn't look like no 12-year-old.
No.
But
no.
It is possible that Disney has embellished, let's say. So, yes, 12. Saved his life and then was sent to Belgium to the queen. I think it was Belgium. You know, because of that act, just amazing act of bravery. So, you know, again, there's nothing wrong with our kids that are succeeding in their cocooned lives, but I do think it's important for us to think about. I read these stories because, you know, remember the whole idea of teenager and modern adolescent, which we think of as an old child, and it never was before. These are young adults. And listeners need to remember that the kid that you're training, not teaching, is a young adult capable of pretty amazing things. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Hello?
Yes. Yes. There's a low bar, I think, for our teens when really there can be very high expectations of what they can achieve. You know, Ashley and I have been doing some research for the podcast and we were curious about inspiring teens. And I kept Googling teens, teenagers, inspiring teens. You know what I end up with is a lot of homicide stories. It's horrible.
Wait a minute. You Googled on inspiring teens and homicide stories.
Yeah, and I end up with homicide stories. And I think these teenagers, they're not,
it's depressing.
Like, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I think that, you know, our teens are doing there are some negative things that are happening in their teen years, but there are some positive. And we would love to highlight the teenagers that you know that are part of your life, whether it be a niece or a nephew or one of your own kids, maybe a student, if you're a teacher, that you think is doing great things. So Ashley, will you tell them a little bit about what we're planning?
Yes. So we are having our first Feeding the Mouth contest. We want to hear from you about a teen in your life that is doing something great, something that's inspiring, something that's changing their community, their world. And we're going to have an Instagram contest. If you go on Instagram and make your post, share a picture of the teen, share the story about what your teen is doing, then use the hashtag FTM inspiring teens. So that's FTM for Feeding the Mouth, inspiring teens with an S. If you use that hashtag FTM inspiring teens, we will be able to search that hashtag and read each story. As we read each story, we will pick the best one, which we think is the most inspiring, and then we will feature that on our podcast. The winner of this contest will get an interview with us and a gift card so they can use it for their cause or just to treat themselves for a job well done. The contest will be complete on 12/10. So you have until December 10th to submit your inspiring teen. And like Jessica said, it doesn't have to be your own teenager. It can be a teen in your community. It can be, you know, your niece or nephew, just a teenager that is doing something inspiring, because we know that they're out there and we want to hear about them and we want to shine light on them and we want to give them the spotlight for a bit. Because we know that teenagers are amazing and we're here for the teenagers.
Yeah, it's really, so you're saying that if my kid made the honor roll, which they didn't, but if they did, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about real life, great things that are helping with real life problems, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's great.
Maybe something that they're passionate about, that they're serving their community in a really unique way, or they've come up with an idea to raise money for something that's valuable. So just anything that you feel is worthy of our attention, we'd love to hear from you and find out more about what your teens are doing.
You know, it makes me think about it because we have a number of listeners in Canada, in the UK, in Australia, and other places that I think about, you know, are American children, teenagers more sheltered, you know, expected less? Is there at least some hope in other areas of the world where, you know, teenagers are given real responsibilities and taking them on for the community? So I'd be particularly interested in, you know, some of the international listeners as well on that kind of story. Not that I'm downing American teenagers, you understand, but just curious.
Why do you feel that we, like, as a society, have a really low bar for teenagers? And anytime you say, like, oh, I'm a mom of teens, or, oh, we've got a couple teenagers, the stranger's response is typically like, oh, wow, you know, like, better you than me, or good luck with that. Like, it's always this negative comment and response. And, you know, like, you have to think as teenagers, you just have this bad connotation to this period in your life, you know, like, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been guilty of that. I mean, you know, just as a kind of connector, I may be the one that goes, oh, you've got three teenagers, let's pray right now, you know, whatever. And you're right. It does leave out the real likelihood of a number of teenagers that are actually, you know, very responsible, get along well with their parents, especially if you're doing planned emancipation, it helps a whole lot. But, and even teenagers that are doing great things, it's almost like, you know, I'm accidentally reinforcing the very thing that I really dislike, which is our modern view of teenagers as old children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think that you are a cheerleader for teenagers, Dr. Ken. I always say that you typically will side with the teenager, which is a great thing because, you know, typically parents look at their teenager as a big kid and really they're not. They're a young adult. But, you know, I'm excited about this because we want to hear about your inspiring teens because we know that they're out there. And I think about these teenagers in history, Dr. Ken, that you've been sharing about. And I think the neat thing about these teenagers is they're so young and full of just passion and courage and resilience. And they're not quite old enough to have lived long enough to have diminished that, you know?
Yeah. That's really true. And it's so funny. I still think it's funny. We talk about like Richard II as a teenager. There was no teenagers then in history, but he was a young adult. And I think, you know, what we end up doing is one of the things I'm often telling teenagers is, look, just because you're treated like a child, you need to be careful that you don't respond like a child. And teenagers do, you know, they will have, I've known teenagers that would have a tantrum in front of their parents that any other teenager that would walk in the room at that moment, they would stop. They would never want to be seen, but I'm at home and I'm a child, so I'm going to act like a child. You know, I think it's a good thing for them to be challenged more than just being adult at home, but also to be encouraged to do other things. You know, there was this book several years ago called Do Hard Things, Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations. It was by Alex Harris and Brett Harris. This is the twin brothers, little brothers of Josh Harris, the big disappointment guy who wrote I Kissed Dating Goodbye and then turned around and kissed Christianity goodbye. We could talk another time about these young minister guys that I don't know how they got out there and they don't even know the faith, but that's not the point. The point is it was one of the only books I know of. And I've actually even thought about writing, you know, there was a book in England that sold well over here as well called the Dangerous Book for Boys. Did you ever hear about that? And it was just a manual on things that boys don't learn, carrying a pocket knife, how to make a campfire. You know, these things that, and I thought, you know, it would be probably, but it was for boys. And I thought, I would love to write the dangerous book for teenagers about the real, you know, kind of campaign that you need to have to push back against your perhaps well-meaning parents. But that does not mean that you have to follow along in those same low expectations. And that's what the Harris brothers tried to do in their book. The thing I didn't like about it is I think it became kind of this whole website and everything has to become commercialized into something huge. And so I don't know, can't vouch for the overall campaign of Do Hard Things, but I really did admire their desire to challenge teenagers to do things like taking care of problems in their community, exactly what we're talking about. Cause it's harder for parents to encourage teenagers that have no peers that are doing it. And it makes a big difference if you know at least some teenagers that are, in fact, getting out there and doing things that help the community.
Right. So switching gears just a little bit, this is the week of Thanksgiving when we're dropping this episode. And I know people are starting, well, in the U.S., starting to think about the holidays. Maybe they already have a tree up.
Yeah, Canada
Maybe
has
they
it earlier
coming
than us.
Into town.
Yeah, they may have already had it. It's weird.
Yeah. So people are starting to think about the holidays. They're thinking about their teenagers. They might be already pushing up against their teenagers, not wanting to be a part of certain holiday traditions. And I wanted to remind people, because I just re-listened to both of these episodes last week in anticipation of holidays. Episode number 51 we did was on teenagers and the holidays.
Right.
And we talk a little bit about what the expectations should be and holiday traditions. And then episode 52, we talked about teenagers and family secrets. And there might be things going on in your family that are difficult to handle or maybe need to be discussed before you get together with family. That it may be a time to be honest with your teenager about what's really going on.
So that was 51 and 52?
51 and 52.
Those were good.
Those were good.
We got a lot of feedback.
In fact, when I listened to it, I remembered how good. Yeah.
Okay.
And I remembered I needed to know this myself. So
yeah, because that's a little bit what we're talking about. Like put your teenager in charge of stuff, actually ask for their help. It's a small example, but yeah, that's a good point. Very good.
Exactly. the holidays are a great time for the teens to step up to the plate and help out with some of the traditions, maybe be the one that spreads a little magic for the younger kids, you know, that sort of thing, where we can call our teenagers in to be responsible adults, right? Young adults.
And to know that they're not going to do it the exact way that we would, but to give them a chance, mm-hmm. and to let them spread their wings a bit. And, you know, if it's a little rocky, let it be so.
Yes. You know,
nobody mm-hmm. starts out perfect, and that's not the goal anyways, you know, but to invite them into to making a dish or being a part of something, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. You know, I visited a couple of years ago a community called the Bruderhof, which is about 100+ years old Christian community that started in Germany, but the Nazis routed them out. And then they were in England. Then they were in Paraguay. It was a long story, but they have a number of communities in the United States and in Australia, in England. And they are a Christian community that lives like Acts chapter 2. They have no private property. They share everything. And it's tricky balance. And I remember that when I was there, there were some projects, like a cool volleyball court. There was this house that had been renovated. And I was told that that was what the teenagers, which gather as a group there in that this particular community, there's several of them, had been, you know, they had a leader and they had been assigned, really, what is the thing you guys are going to do this year to contribute to the community? It was just part of their general process of growing up. And encouraging them that, you know, in that case, you're part of our community. And so, you know, they don't ask the children to do that. These children are just being taken care of. But by the time you're adolescents, you know, you're expected to contribute to the community. Oh, and by the way, the Bruderhof also does not, they really encourage people, young people, to leave before deciding if they want to stay. They do that, you know, respect for their young adults. But I just thought that was an interesting point, that they also really expect their teenagers to do real things to help the community. It's not just a youth group that is, you know, singing songs and, you know, getting to know each other.
Well, I love that. I think that is good. And it's a good challenge as a parent to be thinking about ways that I can push my kids a little bit to step up to the plate, to challenge them to be responsible. So I hope that these tips are helpful to parents as they listen through our 2 episodes. And also, please join our contest. It would be so much fun to highlight a teenager you know that is doing great things in your community or in your family. So thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.
This time of year, the school calendar really starts to fill up. Spring activities, testing season, and that final push toward the end of the year. It's a great moment for kids to stay focused and build confidence in what they're learning. That's where IXL comes in. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand their schoolwork, from math and reading to writing and science. It's designed for pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace. IXL makes it easy to stay on track with instant feedback and clear explanations, skills organized by grade level, and simple progress tracking. It fits into even the busiest spring schedules. It's also trusted nationwide. In fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.